A young doctor walks into a hospital room, stethoscope around his neck, armed with years of medical training. The patient sits alone, vitals stable, no acute illness, yet something is clearly wrong. This scene repeats dozens of times daily in hospitals worldwide, but the diagnosis won't be found in any medical textbook. What's ailing these patients isn't a virus or disease, it's the quiet devastation of loneliness. More than 55 million Americans experience chronic loneliness, a number exceeding adult smokers and nearly double those with diabetes. This isn't just an emotional struggle. Loneliness increases mortality risk as much as smoking 15 cigarettes daily, surpassing the dangers of obesity or physical inactivity. Research reveals it elevates heart disease risk by 29%, stroke by 32%, and dementia by 50%. Yet, unlike these other conditions, loneliness carries a crushing stigma that keeps 72% of sufferers silent, never discussing their pain with anyone. We've reached a critical inflection point where this hidden epidemic demands recognition not as personal weakness, but as a public health crisis requiring urgent intervention. Your racing heart when alone isn't just feelings. Your body recognizes genuine threat. Connection is a biological imperative coded through millions of years of evolution. Early primates survived by clustering against predators. 3 million years ago, coordinated hunting made cooperation essential. Hunter-gatherers spent one-third of their time socializing, not as leisure, but survival strategy. Our brains evolved separate networks for social and non-social thinking, defaulting to social mode during idle moments. Connection triggers oxytocin for bonding, endorphins during synchronized movement, and dopamine to seek companionship. Loneliness activates our nervous system as if stranded in wilderness. Pupils dilate, heart races, stress hormones flood. The cruel paradox? Chronic loneliness makes us withdraw when we need connection most. Lonely brains detect social threats twice as fast, causing us to misread harmless situations as dangerous. We become trapped in cycles of suspicion that deepen isolation. Loneliness didn't exist as a word until the late 16th century. Earlier generations used oneliness, a neutral term for solitary reflection. In religious societies where God connected everyone, isolation carried no moral weight. But when Milton linked loneliness to Satan in Paradise Lost, being alone became a character flaw. This shift coincided with rising individualism, declining religious influence, and economic systems emphasizing personal achievement over communal belonging. Culture shapes our loneliness threshold, the gap between social expectations and reality. In Southern Europe, where family bonds are expected to remain strong, isolated seniors feel lonelier than Northern Europeans, where independence is accepted. An Ethiopian Uber driver described how neighbors in Addis Ababa readily watch each other's children for days, unthinkable in modern America. Geographic mobility now allows overnight migration that once took generations, severing community roots before new ones grow. Increasing longevity means many outlive partners and friends, facing profound isolation. Our politicized climate of distrust further fuels disconnection. When we lack strong social bonds, we struggle to listen to different perspectives. Loneliness disguises itself as anger, anxiety, addiction, anything but what it truly is. Anthony Doran called his Afghanistan deployment the best year of his life because of profound unit bonds. Returning home, civilian life felt chaotic and purposeless, spiraling into depression and substance abuse without recognizing the loneliness beneath. Bill Wilson, Alcoholics Anonymous co-founder, understood this. Almost without exception, alcoholics are tortured by loneliness. His recovery revealed that helping another alcoholic strengthened his own sobriety, AA's cornerstone principle that service becomes a two-way gift. Many loneliness stories begin with childhood trauma, adverse experiences that alter developing brains and immune systems, creating heightened sensitivity to social threats. Yet Verner's 60-year Kauai study revealed the critical protective factor, social connections. Children who bonded with just one stable, nurturing adult, whether parent, grandparent, sibling, or surrogate, gained protection against adversity. What mattered wasn't quantity, but having someone emotionally stable, mature, and consistently available. Serena Bion arrived at the University of Pennsylvania accomplished yet disconnected. In her empty dorm room, she felt invisible. Having left behind her tribe, she lacked an internal compass. Therapy and reconnecting with activities she loved helped, but transformative yoga teacher training introduced her to a community built on vulnerability. What ultimately overcame her loneliness wasn't just supportive relationships. It was reconnecting with herself first, giving her the foundation to establish new relationships from the inside out. Thomas Merton captured this truth. When we feel socially disconnected, we often feel unknown, not just to others, but to ourselves. The fog of loneliness blurs our internal mirrors, obscuring the strengths and sources of joy that connect us to the world. Self-knowledge requires objectivity, reflecting on what we value, how we respond to stress, what we're grateful for, what we yearn for. But knowledge alone isn't enough. Self-compassion forms the crucial bridge between knowing and accepting ourselves. The Dalai Lama once expressed surprise that self-hatred exists in Western culture. In Tibetan tradition, loving kindness toward oneself is fundamental. This compassion shields us from others' judgment, helps us grow through pain, and allows us to see our light amid darkness. Friends naturally organize into three circles: intimate confidants, five or fewer, casual friends, up to 150, and community connections, about 500 acquaintances. We invest roughly 60% of our social energy in our inner circle. The Harvard study of adult development revealed that close relationships at 50 predict health at 80 better than IQ, wealth, or social class. Middle circle relationships provide essential protection through shared activities. Laughter triggers endorphin release and creates instant bonds, while synchronized activities like singing, dancing, or team sports dramatically amplify endorphin production, explaining why group gatherings feel therapeutic. Our outer circle, from work, neighborhoods, and organizations, lacks the vulnerability of closer friendships, yet even simple recognition helps us feel rooted. The workplace is critical for connection, since many spend more waking hours with colleagues than family. Simple practices transform culture. Sharing personal stories for 5 minutes during weekly meetings made team members feel more valued and strengthened connections. Building a connected world starts with nurturing connected children. Today's youth prioritize fame over kindness and face unprecedented loneliness. Yet social education matters as much as academics. Children with close families show higher self-esteem and fewer problems. Teenagers average over 6 hours daily on screens, leaving minimal time for face-to-face interaction. Rather than strict rules, collaborative approaches work better, listening with genuine curiosity about online experiences and modeling our own technology struggles. Active compassion through service develops connectedness. Teacher Justin Parmenter created Undercover Agents of Kindness, where students randomly select classmates for acts of kindness, transforming classroom dynamics. Dennis Esteban, experiencing school loneliness as a Haitian immigrant, created We Dine Together, finding isolated students at lunch and inviting them to join. The program spread to 15 schools, becoming a worldwide inclusion movement. In life's final moments, we measure our days by relationships, not bank accounts. The path forward begins with daily decisions, making time for people, showing up authentically, seeking others with kindness. Peace builder John Paul Lederach offers wisdom from conflict zones. Find someone different, invite them for coffee, listen to understand, speak from the heart, and persist. Your connections aren't luxuries, they're survival necessities.